Diamond's retrofit diesel gets European approval. Boeing will want to forget its fourth quarter. And ASAP returns to Delta through a side door. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, January 29th, 2009. An alert ANN news spy tipped us off yesterday to the news that the European Aviation Safety Agency has just approved the use of the Austro Engines AE300 turbodiesel in Part 23 certified aircraft. EASA documents call it the Diamond Aircraft Industries E4 series. The AE300 is rated for takeoff at 166 horsepower at 3,880 RPM, 152 horsepower maximum continuous at 3550, and certified weight is 408 pounds. The AE300 uses the same Mercedes-Benz engine block as the Thielert, but with lighter top-end components. The PSRU is a clutchless gearbox. As a retrofit option, the Austro will offer 23% more takeoff power than the Thielert Centurion 2.0. Diamond is actively encouraging owners of Thielert-equipped aircraft to swap out those engines for Austro diesels. FAA certification of the new diesel is expected sometime this year. As might be expected when a strike halts production and deliveries for 2 months, Boeing had a terrible fourth quarter. In results announced yesterday, Boeing told investors it lost $56 million in the fourth quarter of 2008 and will more than double the number of layoffs previously announced for 2009, now cutting 10,000 positions. The loss contrasts sharply with the billion-dollar profit Boeing posted for the same period in 2007. Quarterly revenues fell 27% to $12.7 billion. The company blamed the 58-day strike called by the International Association of Machinists for that dismal showing. CEO Jim McNerney said its effects outweighed progress made during the year. Quote, "Our imperative going forward is improving execution where it needs to be improved, maintaining strong performance across all our production programs, and preserving our financial strength to grow in these challenging economic times," unquote. For the year, Boeing was still in the black by $2.7 billion, but that's down 34% from a year earlier. Boeing has announced it will make the first flight of its new 787 Dreamliner without replacing faulty fasteners in some hard-to-reach areas of the plane to avoid further delays in development. A total of 6 development aircraft will be flown through testing with those fasteners. Program spokeswoman Yvonne Leach told the Associated Press, quote, "There has been a huge effort to go in and replace a huge number of these fasteners," unquote. She said the ones they're leaving in place do not pose safety risks, but will ultimately be replaced before the affected aircraft reach customers. Fasteners have been a huge burr under Boeing's saddle of late. Dreamliner development has been held up first by a shortage of fasteners for assembly of composite portions of the plane, then by a contractor who installed them improperly. Then, in November, Spirit AeroSystems, another contractor, discovered that for more than a year, nut plates used in inaccessible areas of Boeing's 737s had missed getting required anti-corrosive cadmium coatings. Days later, the problem was also found to have affected wide-body models as well, 476 planes in all. Boeing reports 910 Dreamliners are on order from airlines and leasing companies around the world. Leach says the latest fastener headache will not change plans to make the 787's first flight by mid-year. Delta Airlines and its pilots have reached an agreement to bring back ASAP, the Aviation Safety Action Program, which rewards pilots who report safety lapses with immunity from both FAA prosecution and employer sanction. The program, which requires buy-in from the pilots, the company, and the FAA to work, ended in the contentious labor environment that existed at Delta in 2006. Pilots said the company wasn't honoring the immunity provisions. ASAP for pilots at American and U.S. Airways ended over similar disputes, and ASAP might not have returned at Delta were it not for the merger with Northwest. The new program builds on one that was still in effect at Northwest at the time of its acquisition by Delta. New U.S. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood commented, quote, "We hope the other carriers will follow Delta's lead and realize just how critical voluntary programs are to commercial aviation safety," unquote. The airline claims it's now the largest user of voluntary safety reporting systems, with 6 programs covering nearly 17,000 employees. Up next on ANN, NBAA punts on its first light business airplane show. DOT reports airline fares are rising. and today is an official day of remembrance at Kennedy Space Center. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-Cessna.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for January 29th. I'm Paul Plack. A few weeks ago, the National Business Aviation Association announced it would shorten and downsize its inaugural Light Business Airplane Conference, scheduled for March in San Diego. NBAA has now announced its cancellation as a separate event, saying LBA 2009 will be incorporated into its 62nd annual meeting and convention in Orlando this October. Acknowledging the economy, NBAA President Ed Boland commented, quote, "We all know that our industry is finding it necessary to limit travel and marketing expenses, so we're going to combine all of the excellent elements we'd planned for LBA into the convention," unquote. NBA's expressed intent in launching the separate LBA show was to address the concerns of pilots of smaller aircraft who may have felt overwhelmed during the group's annual conference, which is one of the largest in the world. Boland apologized to those who had already booked flights and rooms in San Diego and scheduled other meetings and functions around the event. Quote, "We regret the inconvenience to all who finalized their itinerary. Still, we believe the step we've taken is the right one for both attendees and exhibitors in this very challenging economy," unquote. If the airlines cut capacity hoping to support higher fares, well, it appears to be working so far. DOT's Bureau of Transportation Statistics reports average domestic airfares in the third quarter of 2008 reached $362. That's up 2.8% from the previous quarter, up over 10% from a year earlier, and up 22% from the post-9/11 low of $297 recorded in 2004. The average of $362 was the highest for any quarter in the 13 years BTS has been keeping track. Year to year, the increase is double the government's official rate of inflation. Average fares vary by airport. The top five, in order of most expensive first, are Cincinnati, Knoxville, Greenville-Spartanburg, Grand Rapids, and Madison. The lowest fares among the top 100 airports were found at Dallas Love Field, where Southwest is headquartered, followed by Orlando, Burbank, Long Beach, and Islip. The National Transportation Safety Board has dispatched a team to investigate Tuesday's crash of an ATR-42 operated by Empire Airlines for FedEx. The turboprop was on approach for 1-7 and hit the ground short of the runway. Both pilots survived. The aircraft was destroyed by crash forces and a post-impact fire. NTSB says the weather at the time was reported as overcast, ceiling at 500 AGL, visibility 2 miles with light freezing drizzle and mist, and an 11-knot wind at 020 degrees. That means the landing was attempted with a moderate tailwind. The flight data recorder and cockpit voice recorder will both be examined at NTSB Labs in Washington, D.C. NASA has declared today an official day of remembrance at Kennedy Space Center in Florida. The general public is invited to a wreath-laying at 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time this morning at the Space Mirror Memorial at KSC's Visitor Complex. Center Director and former astronaut Bob Cabana will take part in that ceremony. The Visitor Complex will provide flowers for visitors throughout the day to place at the memorial. Kennedy workers will be allowed access to the memorial throughout the day to pay their respects. The event honors members of the NASA family who lost their lives while furthering the cause of exploration and discovery. This year marks the 42nd anniversary of the Apollo 1 launch pad disaster, 23 years since the Challenger explosion, and the 6th anniversary of the loss of the shuttle Columbia. Ironically, all occurred within 5 calendar days of each other in their respective years. Still ahead, Tampa's airspace will be a mess this Super Bowl weekend. Robert Gates says the KCX competition will resume in the spring. And here's what happens when you assume the fuel gauges are wrong. You're listening to Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin WAAS GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin WAAS GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, January 29th. I'm Paul Platt. The FAA says it's prepared to handle as many as 1,000 additional private planes expected to fly in and out of the Tampa Bay area for this weekend's Super Bowl. There's a notice to airmen explaining the air traffic changes that private pilots can expect. Make sure you get the current NOTAM. The FAA will also implement 3 separate temporary flight restrictions around Raymond James Stadium on Sunday. Private pilots will not be allowed to fly near the stadium for several hours before, during, and after the game. The FAA posted the restrictions almost 3 weeks ago, so you'll have very little excuse. Tampa International Airport's runway 927 will be closed for aircraft parking. The airport will provide ramp control service to ensure that general aviation aircraft are positioned to allow swift and efficient departures, and FAA controllers will staff FBOs on the field to issue departure clearances to pilots, helping keep radio channels from getting clogged. At least spectators will be leaving the area gradually. Las Vegas odds makers think the game will be over by, you know, about halfway through the second quarter. Just kidding. You can find the FAA's webpage devoted to preparations for the big game at www.fly.faa.gov/Super Bowl. The NTSB's preliminary report on last Thursday's forced landing of a Cape Air Cessna 402C indicates both the plane's piston engines suffered fuel starvation due to a stuck valve. The Cape Cod Times reports Flight 9399 was en route from Key West, Florida to Fort Myers when the pilot reported a complete loss of engine power. He glided the aircraft to a safe landing at Naples Municipal Airport with no injuries to himself or his 6 passengers. NTSB senior investigator Tim Monville said the board confirmed that a fuel distribution valve in the left tank was stuck, meaning both engines were drawing fuel from the aircraft's right fuel tank. Cape Air personnel told NTSB that when the stuck valve was lubricated, both engines started and the plane made a routine ferry flight to Fort Myers, where the suspect parts were removed for further investigation. The pilot was praised for a successful outcome, but he told the NTSB he did notice the lower fuel level on the right side, but thought it was a problem with the gauges. The procurement by the U.S. Air Force of a new aerial tanker, tentatively dubbed KCX, has turned into a protracted political battle involving Boeing, Northrop Grumman, and Eads. Last year, the Northrop Eads team won the $35 billion competition, but that contract award was challenged by Boeing. The Government Accountability Office sided with the U.S. plane maker, and a new competition was ordered. Then, amid concerns the service wasn't prepared to conduct the competition successfully, U.S. Defense Secretary Robert Gates moved in July to strip the Air Force of oversight, handing control of the process off to John Young, a defense undersecretary in charge of procurement. Then, in August, concerned that the process would still be open to challenges regardless of who won the contract, Gates postponed the bidding indefinitely. Now, the Seattle Post-Intelligencer reports that Gates, who's been kept on as Secretary of Defense in the Obama administration, is getting ready to try again. Gates told Congress on Tuesday that once a new deputy defense secretary and a new chief weapons buyer have been confirmed, he hopes to restart the process in the spring and award a contract by early 2010. While a resurgence in Buy American sentiment might favor Boeing, Northrop makes strong arguments for why its Airbus-based tanker, which would undergo final assembly in Alabama, is just as American as Boeing's 767-based proposal. In the end, that public relations effort, though, is just political subtlety, because by treaty, the Pentagon is required to give contractors based in NATO countries and the employment they create the same weight as U.S. contractors. Finally, what could have been an uproar caused by a decision to buy the next Air Force One from Airbus has been laid to rest early. Eads says it's not interested in bidding. As ANN reported last week, the U.S. Air Force quietly asked in 2007 for information from both Boeing and Airbus. Given all the command and countermeasure stuff that needs to be crammed aboard the U.S. presidential transport, the Airbus A380, with 40% more square footage than Boeing's largest 747, looked like it might be a contender. Recent inroads made in U.S. military procurement by other foreign companies had already broken the ice. Eads North America has confirmed the story, but adds, quote, Eads North America's strategy for growth in the U.S. is based on bringing value to the U.S. warfighter, making industrial investments in the U.S., and insourcing high-technology defense and aerospace jobs. After careful review, we've determined that participation in the AF-1 program will not help us meet these business objectives, unquote. Phew. Now, if Boeing could only find a way to encourage Eads to think the same way about the KCX contract. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, in the wake of the shutdown of the group responsible for development of Microsoft Flight Simulator, we'll hear the guys who designed the current release talk about their vision for the game. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.